Anybody here who learned Psalm 23 from Mrs. Tupper? I know some are away that told me they had. Jeff Wakeman, who actually runs our Sunday school program, was listing off the things he learned when he had Mrs. T as a Sunday school teacher. Let's see if I got them straight. Psalm 23, 10 disciples, 10 commandments. I've already lost a couple. But he gives me this long list. And he said, we went over them, we learned them, and then he could start doing it. So we're going to do Psalm 23. Some of you have memorized this, some of you haven't. And we're going to do it from the King James, because that's what she taught. We're going to do it right. Where David wrote, say it with me if you know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord
forever.
That's what she's doing. We have several people that are prepared to share, and it's kind of neat because actually they represent three generations. We're going to have Mrs. T's great-granddaughter, Sindel. Sindel's first. Where's Sindel? Looking right at you. She's right here. Then Macy, her granddaughter, and then her nephew, Bob Sweet. So, Cinder, why don't you come up and share with us.
Okay, I wanted to share some Alicisms that my great-Grammy Tupper always used to say. Whenever you asked Grammy Tupper how she was doing, she always said, I am busy, busy, busy. And that's busy, busy, busy. Grammy Tupper said, I have Jesus, and Jesus has me. And she said it often. Grammy Tupper said, I choose to be happy. And she was, all the time. When Grammy Tupper moved to Durham from Lisbon Falls over 65 years ago, she insisted on having a streetlight at the end of the driveway. It still burns bright. Grammy Tupper said, I love red, white, and blue, and I must have a red, white, and blue ornament on my car antenna all the time. And she did. Grammy Tupper said, I love a half sandwich at noon with a little moxie. Grammy Tupper adored her four grandchildren and her seven great-grands. You could often find Grammy Tupper outside sweeping her back steps to an immaculate condition. Grammy Tupper said about great-grandpa Tupper, I am just crazy about him now, and I will be crazy about him forever. Can anyone tell us what was written on Grammy Tupper's garage door every Christmas season? Grammy Tupper said, throw something out every day, even if it's just a magazine. Grammy Tupper loved the weather, stormy weather, snowstorms, thundershowers, rainbows, sunny days. She left us on a sunny day, her favorite type of June day. And today would be her favorite type of June day, too. Grammy Tupper said, I keep things around my house that remind me of the people I love. Do it. And although she never got to meet her, Grammy Tupper said, I love the name Aubrey Grace, her newest great-grand. This was one of Grammy Tupper's favorite poems, so Grammy Tupper would say to each of you, do not stand at my grave and weep. I am not there. I do not sleep. I am a thousand winds that blow. I am the diamond glints on snow. I am the sunlight on ripened grain. I am the gentle autumn rain. When you awaken in the morning's hush, I am the swift uplifting rush of quiet birds in circled flight. I am the soft stars that shine at night. Do not stand at my grave and cry. I am not there. I did not die. And Grammy Tupper would now say, bye for now.
Well, I'm not really sure how I'm going to follow that, but I will do my best. I speak to people for a living. I'm a librarian. I talk to students. I help them with the library resources. But I have to say that my favorite presentations that I give are among friends. And even though this is a funeral for my grandmother, who I love dearly, I'm very glad to be and honored to be chosen to speak to you about her today. My name is Macy, for those of you who don't know me. I'm her oldest grandchild, and I'd like to share a few things about her with you today. Graham was always excited to see friends and family, and she always made them feel welcome with her signature greeting. All of you were her cherished friends and family. As I look at you, I'm seeing people I grew up with, people I just met, people I love, people I'm becoming friends with, and all of you were special to her. All of you enriched her life in a unique and meaningful way. Even if you didn't know her, you probably heard someone talk about her stories. So I welcome you on her behalf with her greeting. Oh, hello! It's all of you! Though the weather is kind of changeable today, it's not quite sure if it's going to be sunny or stormy. And Graham has changed forms. She's no longer physically with us here on Earth. We know that some things have not changed. Graham was a happy person on Earth, with sunshine in her heart and a smile on her face. And she is still happy, and maybe even happier now that she is with her Jesus. Graham is no longer with us in body, but she'll always live with us in our hearts and our memories. I'm not sure what the routine is in her heavenly home these days, but I'd like to tell you about a typical visit to her earthly home. You would walk in the door, take your shoes off to protect her freshly cleaned floors, which she had probably cleaned just a half hour before you came, helped yourself to the M&M jar, although if you're looking for a brown one, you'd search in vain because she picked all of those out. And you would take a seat on the couch. She would settle into Grandpa's recliner or maybe the rocker. And she'd ask what was new with you. She genuinely would want to know, what's going on with you? What's new with you? Being polite, you might say a sentence or two, I'm doing this or that. But she wouldn't let you go with that. She would always sort of excitedly say, what else? What else? Tell me what else. If your news was big enough to be written about in the newspaper, or if you gave her a photo of yourself, or if you got a new job and you gave her a business card, the next time you visited, you could look on her in her entryway or on her fridge or on her kitchen wall, and there it would be, taped up with some scotch tape. She loved her friends and family, and she wanted constant reminders of those people that she cared about. After you'd visited a while, she would ask if you wanted some water or maybe a cookie or some fudge, or if you visited in the evening about an hour before bedtime, you might get offered some homemade ice cream. Personally, that was my favorite time to visit. If I heard she had ice cream, I did not miss an opportunity to get over there an hour before bedtime. My grandmother loved to clean. She loved to clean. Cleaning is my passion, she would say. I love to clean. You can put that on my tombstone. Well, we've actually chosen a different saying for her tombstone. But you get the idea. She really loved to clean. She was a homemaker. She loved her home. She loved taking care of her husband and her children. And she loved keeping a spick and span clean home. Graham's kitchen floor was great for sock skating because she kept it so clean and shiny. Many family members, and I don't know if she ever invited friends to do that, but I can say that many family members slid across that floor in their socks at one time or another. Including Graham, at 85, 4 years ago. Jason came to visit her one day. She shot right across the floor in her socks and gave him a great big hug. And she probably said, I love sliding across my floor. Graham really loved sunflowers. One year, Jason planted one in his garden, and he brought it to Graham. He just sort of said, I'll bring Graham a flower today. It was still small. She planted it in her side yard where she could see it from her sun porch window, and she watched it grow. And it would grow so tall, and then it might be there a few months later, But she really loved it. She really loved her sunflowers. And this became a yearly tradition. Jason would bring her a sunflower every year. And she said that she thought about him every day when she looked at it. Graham was a very giving and appreciative person, and I'm sure a lot of you experienced that over your time with her. If Jason came over and plowed her driveway, which he did every year, every winter, she would give him something, usually a bag of M&Ms or some cookies or something that she had freshly baked. But Jason is kind of cagey. And after a while, he figured out that if she gave him something every time he visited, that he could just visit more often and break the jobs up into smaller pieces. And so sometimes it took him a day or two to plow the driveway. Hopefully she didn't have to go anywhere. She knew what was going on. She was no fool. But she loved having a man around the house. And Jason loved spending time with her, so it worked out for both of them really well. Graham loved to bake and cook. How many of you have been recipients of zucchini bread, whoopie pies, fudge? And after Grandpa retired, she got him to share in the fun. And so she got him out there baking. He built a little bakery out in the backyard, and he'd go out there and he'd bake all of her signature recipes, and she would stand there and she'd say, "Now, Jack, you need to mix that up a little bit more." And he would do it, and they would be great, just like hers. They shared these with other people, and eventually she and he compiled a cookbook of their signature recipes. And it was a really kind of ingenious cookbook. They took index cards. He hauled out the old typewriter, and he typed up the recipes, and they put them in a photo book. So you could take them out, interchange them, add new ones, and they gave these out to family members and friends. Water. I cook a lot from this book. I'm sure that other people do too. Whenever there's a family gathering, and I say, "Oh, I'll bring something." Everyone says, no, bring Graham's apple pie. And so that's what I always do. I always bring Graham's apple pie. Graham loved to collect rocks from the family gravel pit and paint them. That was her, our family is kind of crafty and arty, and that was her thing. She would finish large rocks with faces and names of family members. I have a Macy, and Jason has a Jason, and so on. Small rocks were made into pins and painted with flowers or landscape scenes, or sometimes they were glued together to make rock people, like this one with my name on it. And my cousin Melinda has a twin, and I forgot to ask you to bring it. But it looks just like this one, but it says Melinda. She was the salutatorian of her graduating class, so she was second only to the valedictorian in terms of grade point average. And she kept up her love of learning throughout her life. She made lists of new words that she would read in the paper or see on TV or hear in conversation from someone. And she would look up the definitions and write them down. I have several of those lists, and they're very precious to me because I am a librarian and I love books and learning myself. Every night she watched Jeopardy and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And whenever there was a question and answer that she found particularly interesting or that she wanted to remember, she would write it down in a little notebook, and she had several of these little notebooks. One of them, actually, we've put out in the reception room. So take a look, you might learn something new today. Graham was a good and fast driver. So notice that I said good and fast, not good but fast, because I have inherited some of her traits. But I'm safe. She learned her two-footed driving style from my grandfather and had an interest in and a talent for speed. She would often achieve 0 to 60 miles per hour, or so it seemed, two doors down from her own house. So by the time she got to Mildred, she was just flying over town. She and I often went on shopping trips to Portland together. We always said a prayer in the car before leaving. Often it was the 23rd Psalm. Or John 10:4. The prayer covered us for such grand maneuvers as approaching the on-ramp merge. She would plant her foot firmly into the gas pedal, and as the pedal descended to the floor and the speedometer moved ever higher, the increasing G-forces would mold me to my seat, which I enjoyed, actually. I absorbed these impromptu driving lessons, and they've been very helpful to me since I've been living in Boston for 20 years. My move to Boston happened soon after I fell in love with David, my husband of 21 years, excuse me. And I'm looking for my place. And even though I rejoiced at my good fortune, it bothered me a lot as a hardcore Mainer to leave my family and friends and move to the city. When I practiced this, I choked up at this point every time, so this is no surprise to me right now. When I shared this with Graham, she reminded me that she grew up as a devout Catholic and left the Catholic Church in her teens to come to Shiloh when she fell in love with her Jackson, my grandfather. She gave me some advice that I still rely on today. Bloom where you're planted, she said. Brighten the corner where you are, she said. Choose to be happy, she said. She did all those things herself with a love for her Savior, her family, and her friends, and I do my best to emulate and honor her example. My cousin Melinda reminded me recently that Grandma always said, don't cry when I die. Remember that I'm happy where I am. There's no reason to be sad about it. Well, we know where she is now, and we rejoice with her. She's been replanted, and she's blooming with Jesus right now, her Jesus. She's walking on streets paved with gold. She's sitting at the Father's right hand. She's reunited with her son, Tommy, and her husband, Jackson. And she bids us all a fond, temporary farewell, her signature goodbye phrase that you've already heard so eloquently from Sindel, and that we will put on her tombstone. Bye for now.
Thank you, ladies, very much. Bob. Did she teach you to drive, too?
I have a story about that.
You're on.
I am on.
Well, that's good. That's why I lip-synced the singing. I was afraid I'd be a solo. Thank goodness for that. I spared you. Thank you, Sindel. Where is she? There she is. And Macy. That was just precious. Very special. I hate to admit it, but the oldest of the grandchildren. And so here I stand. You know, they say that old men dream dreams and young men dream visions. Well, I've been hoping for a vision, but I got a dream instead. It truly is an honor for me to share my heart a little bit from my perspective as a little boy who met Aunt Alice when I was 8 years old in 1945. And now I'm already ahead of myself. I wanted to thank you, Joan, for yesterday. You and Macy and others who helped honor your mother. It was a very, very special time for all of us. You know, we're all family here today. There's a poet, I think he's from Maine, he said, I drew a circle, they drew a circle and left me out, I drew a circle and took them in. And as I thought about today, and I thought about people that I haven't seen for a long time, people that are new perhaps, and others that that are here to honor Alice Tupper, I felt like the message I'd like to convey is that we're inclusive, that we all have a love for one another. We're all different. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different life experiences. But I believe this is a time for us to be one. Bob, I recall many times that you would take your mom to breakfast. She would tell me about that and how happy it made her feel and what a blessing it was to her. Jackie, I found a little note in the Bible, and it said, he had a gentle spirit, and she wrote, what a kind and thoughtful and loving son you have been.
And Joan, what a precious, loyal, and faithful daughter you have been to your mother. You exemplify many of the same characteristics that she did. Your faith in Jesus, your love for others, your love for family and children and grandchildren, and service you've done for so many through your career in nursing. We all honor you today for the example you have set for us. I love you. Alice Tupper was a happy person. That's been exemplified by the things that have been said here. I love the Alice-isms. And I'm sure there were days when she was down, as they say, but from my memory and my experience, she was truly joy-filled. I can't personally remember times when I saw her in despair or down. I knew she had challenges, but my memory of her was when I was 7 or 8 years old and she was living in our home with her father and mother-in-law, Ernest and Sarah Tupper. Now see, I'm back in Maine, Tupper. That's pretty good. I'll get to that a little later. Used to be the Hastings place, and before that, the Wakeman place, I think. Is that right, Floyd? Her husband was flying missions in a B-24 bomber over France and Germany. So at home, we had blackout curtains, civil service watching for air attacks on our homeland, ration cards for food, limited fuel for travel. Sound like today. And news reports of terrible loss of life on the battlefield. And yet Alice Burgoyne Tupper had a joyful spirit. I'm sure she shed many a tear worrying about her husband Jackson and what the future would bring, but she remained focused on one stabilizing factor. Jesus loved her, he died for her, her sins were forgiven, and she would live forever, or forever, as she used to say to me. I think my brother and I were her first kids. As her daughter, Joan, told me recently, she was young and full. That's what Joan told me, that she thought we were her first kids. She was about 18, I think, 17, and I was 8, and Burton was 5. One of my first memories of her is standing at the sink in our house, looking down over the field to the what was then forested land, to where they were going to build their house, while she was making a sandwich for lunch, and I was probably couldn't even hardly see over the sink at the time. So she told me she was going to make me a rat sandwich. And I said, a rat sandwich? She said, well, we got plenty of rats around here. Why use ration cards for that? So we laughed about that, and we've laughed about it more in times than I can think of over the years. Another memory I have is my father. He used to sing, believe it or not. He didn't sing much in public, but he did around the house. And since she lived there, I'm pretty sure she probably heard him sing this, but he used to sing the song, I'm happy in the service of the King. I'm happy, oh so happy. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring in the service of the King. In the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. And that truly was Aunt Alice. Today, this is a Christian memorial service for Aunt Alice. We don't need to embellish or use hyperbole to describe her. She was genuine through and through, the genuine article. Now, we could string all the memories of each of us that we could all offer here today, and we could go along as long as some of her father-in-law, Ernest Tupper's preaching services used to go, and more. Some of you may know what I mean about that. I will not do that. I have a time frame here. But she used to tell me often, and this was all through the years, she would tell me, she'd look me with her eyes straight at me, Bobby, it's all about Jesus. She already had a solid Christian foundation when she married my Uncle Jackson Tupper. She was confirmed in the Catholic Church, as Macy mentioned, and when she was 8 years old, I found the little confirmation tab in her Bible. Later, as a young adult, she talked a lot with my mom, Aura Tupper, sweet, and others who told her about accepting Jesus as her personal Savior, and she went on to take that step and sort of confirm what she already had. And then she had words to live by, and these, I want to just share this. These are two of her Bibles. I've had the privilege over the past few hours, into the wee hours of this morning, to be truthful, going through the Bible, looking at the things that she had written in there, page after page of markings, red, black, little clippings of things, this way, that way, all kinds of different ways in these two Bibles. Well, I'm going to read this because this is in her Bible and this is in her writing. These are words from Alice Tupper herself. She wrote that her mother, Rose Eva Burgoyne, taught her the following principles as a young woman. And she has written these words in this Bible. Number one, liquor is a devil. Number two, don't go to dirty movies. Number three, dress modestly. Her mother told her, I can see you haven't left God. You just serve him in a different place now. And that was a big step for her mom, I'm sure. I like this one. You just leave your house when you die. Don't worry about the grave part. As her faith and understanding in the Bible grew stronger, so did her faith and joy in serving Jesus. Alice Tupper, again, in her own words, had written in her Bible, I declared publicly to my friends that I was saved by believing in Jesus Christ on May 3rd, 1943. Jesus is greatly to be praised. Here's a personal story about my contact with Aunt Alice on a regular basis over many, many decades. In 1980, my family and I left New England and moved to Washington, D.C. And we would return for visits to Maine, always to see Uncle Jack and Aunt Alice and whoever of family we could up here, because Maine is still home to me. And so we would share an Italian sandwich, usually half an Italian sandwich, and a Moxie, of course, from Kitty Corner Store. Sorry, that's out of business now, I guess. And we'd laugh and talk and share our time together. Well, nearly every time I visited them, Uncle Jack would say to me, Bobby, what are you doing down in Washington, D.C.? Those people don't know anything down there. They're all stupid. Why don't you come back to Maine? Get back where you belong. And Aunt Alice would just smile and sort of nod yes, not say much. Well, one time she told me, though I was far away, when we would never know for sure when or if we would see each other again, she said, well, we're going to live forever, so it really doesn't matter, because we will see each other again. And from that time forward, and I would say it's been 20 years or more, our parting and our greeting would always include her hug with her face next to mine, and she would say in my ear, forever, forever. And I would respond to her, forever. And we both knew what that meant. The last time I saw her a few months ago, we followed that very same practice and repeated the very same words, forever. And I cherish that memory. You know, news commentator Tom Brokaw coined the phrase, the greatest generation, his book some years ago. Most often we think of the soldiers in our armed forces who go off to war as the greatest generation, as part of that. When I got word that Aunt Alice had passed on to her heavenly home, I thought, you know, she was also part of that greatest generation. Imagine what it was like to have your husband go off to war halfway around the world and know that he was a belly gunner and a B-24 bomber flying missions over enemy territory. There was no email, no internet, no 24-hour news cycle, no cell phones, only an occasional letter, if anything at all. She was living with her husband's parents and wondering each day if she would receive word that her husband had been a casualty, never to come home again. Talk about having your faith tested. What a brave woman she was. That was Alice Burgoyne Tupper. To reinforce this, I had a dream. Yes, I'm an old man. I had a dream last Sunday morning about Aunt Alice. And I do not have dreams often. If I do, they're usually things I can't remember. But this one was Sunday morning of this past week, and we were down in Lynchburg, Virginia, visiting our daughter, who was just celebrating a birthday. And I woke up about 4:45 in the morning, just as clear as could be, And this I guess you'd call it a dream, was just vividly emblazoned on my mind. And so Joy was asleep, but she heard me stir, so she said, what's going on? So I said, well, I just had a dream. And she said, well, what is it? Well, usually, you know, you don't want to wake somebody else up, but she insisted. And so this was what I dreamed. It went like this. I saw Aunt Alice sweeping toward heaven's gates, and she had medals and ribbons and what appeared to be a general's rank. And it reminded me of her life of faith, faith without seeing, faith based on her own choice to follow Jesus Christ fully, her choice to read the Bible faithfully, apply it daily, teach it to her children, share it with her friends. I saw her not as a housewife, but as a trained prayer warrior. She was sparkling, joyful, and free. It was only a glimpse, but it made a powerful impression on me. And I told Joy about it at the time, and she was equally moved that morning to tears when I told her. Aunt Alice had been a happy warrior all her life, and I thought, truly, Alice is now in Wonderland. Alice Tupper, in her own words, had written this in her Bible: "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." We have to keep Christ and believe in God who sent him. We have everlasting life now and have passed from death to life already. When we are saved, Jesus adopts us and then confesses us before the Father and the angels. Our names are then written in the book of life. We shall never die. We are going to be with the Lord forever. Alice B. Tupper. Alice had her head in the clouds, but her feet firmly planted on the ground. She was a master cook. She and her sister-in-law, Madeline Tupper, had cookie parties around the Christmas season, and that tradition has been passed on to many. I don't know how many people have cookie parties or have been to them over the years. Maybe not. Well, one. My wife does. We pass it on to our kids and to our grandkids. So anyway, the cookie party tradition continues. She was a homemaker. Her primary desire was that she master that too, and her husband and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren were the focus of her attention, as she lived out love and gentleness and kindness day by day for them to emulate. And certainly that has been the case. And I wish I knew some of you more than I do, but I love you all. I really do. I know that each of us will claim her friendship was the most special. And that's the way she made us all feel. I know her friendship and love was returned too. I think of Jerry Parker, a faithful friend, visiting her, calling her, being there when she needed someone to talk to. Allison Miller, and they laughed and laughed and laughed. Alan and, my goodness, see, I am old. Elvis, Al Crick, and Carol. Yeah, anyway, my apologies. Mental block here. But I remember the times that you guys visited and had the closeness that you had with them. And I know there are many others I haven't listed here. Each of you has your own Alice story. And I hope maybe they'll be shared. Some of them will be at the Ice Cream Social coming up. Aunt Alice loved to sing, and one of her favorite songs was Bright in the Corner, I think, as was mentioned. And I just jotted down, or I pulled off some of the words from the internet. Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you, now be true. Brighten the corner where you are. And it was today that she let her light shine, every day, to her family and to all around her. She was totally uninhibited about talking about Jesus to people, was she not? I mean, there wasn't any question. It wasn't offensive. You didn't feel like she was trying to push it. That's just who she was. And I treasure that. I want that for myself. I don't want it to be something that's just stuffy and staid. Life was not always easy for Aunt Alice. Her third child, Tommy Mitchell Tupper, contracted cancer when he was 2.5 years old. And it proved to be a terminal case. Despite the treatment of his treatment, the decline continued and he did pass away. One can only imagine what it meant to have her son wasting away with nothing she could do about it. She wrote an account of this experience titled God Sent an Angel, and it was published in the Lisbon Monthly, December 1986. When she was at her lowest ebb, she had an experience that touched her deeply, and here is a summary in her own words. And I think it's worthy of our note because it was a part of her life, too. Quote, "One evening I wheeled Tommy to the exit door of the hospital, hoping and praying to meet a nurse or someone to take him back to his room. It was wrenching pain to have to leave him at 8 p.m. Well, I met a lady that evening near the exit. We exchanged a few words, and she told me she had a 12-year-old son in the children's ward and also a husband upstairs, and she could stay later. They had been injured in an automobile accident. This lady was a complete stranger to me, but in the very first moments I talked with her, I liked her. And when she said to me, 'I'll take him,' I was overwhelmed, and still am to this day, as she was there to meet us every night for the next 2.5 months until Tommy couldn't be put into a wheelchair anymore. I repeat, she never missed a night. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was Jesus visiting me. She was my angel. I've suffered, but I've been healed. I have despaired, but I have recovered hope. Before this happened, I knew the 23rd Psalm. Now I know the Shepherd." Joni mentioned to me the other night that at her passing, another angel was there. Her name was Nina Sweet. You didn't know that people could have names, did you? And she was there by her bedside near the time of her mother's passing and talked with her not very long before that. And she brought comfort and peace to Joni and the family. Nina is a visiting nurse who knew Aunt Alice well and had greeted her earlier that day. So angels come in all forms and shapes, so you may be one too, you know. Just could well be. Aunt Alice loved to serve others. I put this lifetime of service to her church and church family. She loved to serve others. She loved her church family. She was truly a servant to all. But as you will see in her own words, she was not hung up on a church building or a denomination. Again, Alice Tupper in her own words. This is how she expressed it. "When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. So, you're all wrapped up in your church. You won't be saved by your church. You think salvation in your church is in your church, but it's Jesus. Love them and leave them if they don't know Jesus. Real living for him is glorious." And then here are Alice Tupper's last words to her daughter and to us all. "As I said earlier, Joan has been a faithful daughter to her mother, even while she has been suffering physically herself during these past months. She visited her, called her, provided support for her mom in ways that only a daughter could. I know all of us are grateful for the care and comfort that Aunt Alice received from her family. It's very special that the last words Aunt Alice said were these, quote, 'I'm ready to go to heaven!' Exclamation point. 'I'm not afraid!' Exclamation point. 'It's going to be wonderful!' Exclamation point. 'Jesus is waiting for me!' Exclamation point. Wow, 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 wow!" How about that? I found this poem also in her Bible. I think it expresses well her confidence in Jesus and her destination when her time to leave this earth arrived. "Safely home." It follows, I think, somewhat what you said, Macy. "I am home in heaven, dear ones. Oh, so happy and so bright. There's perfect joy and beauty in this everlasting light. All the pains and grief is over. Every restless tossing past, I am now at peace forever, safely home in heaven at last. Did you wonder why I so calmly trod the valley of the shade? Oh, but Jesus' love illumined every dark and fearful glade. And he came himself to meet me in the way so hard to tread. And with Jesus' arm to lean on, could I have one doubt or dread? then you must not grieve so sorely, for I love you dearly still. Try to look beyond death's shadows. Pray to trust our Father's will. Do it now while life remaineth. You shall rest in Jesus' land. When that work is all completed, he will gently call you home. Oh, the rapture of that meeting. Oh, the joy to see you come. In closing, I want to just sum up just a few things I've learned from Aunt Alice. Jesus is everything. Follow him. Brighten the corner where I am today. A life serving others is well worth living. Read and study the Bible daily, which she did, and read it through every single year. She quotes this in her Bible, had it written, "He who does not know scriptures does not know the power and the wisdom of God. Ignorance of the Bible is ignorance of Christ," end quote. Her unconditional love for her family was evident to all and an example to follow. It is time to say goodbye, and it's been said so far twice, and I want to add it here as well. Her parting words to us today is bye for now.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob, very much.
If the musicians would come back up, please. We're going to sing another favorite of Mrs. T's, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There." We're going to sing that now. So take them up and drive in.
Well, I'm going to miss Mrs. T a lot, and I've got to tell a little story. She was losing mental faculties this last year, so she'd be confused. If I came in with my mom, she thought I was my dad. And then I'd try to explain, no, I'm Ronnie. This is my mom. She knew who my mom was. She was real clear on that. And then once she figured, remember, and I preface this, she was losing some mental faculties. She'd go, "Ronnie, you're amazing. You're amazing." And I'd say, "Well, thank you." It felt, that always feels good, because, you know, pastors usually get more critics than cheerleaders. And so she'd go, "Ronnie, you're amazing. How do you get up there and do what you do?" I said, "I don't know. A lot of other people have that question, too." But she cheered me on. That's what I'm trying to say. Mrs. T cheered me on. And that was very powerful to me. And, you know, when you see people, whether it's dementia or Alzheimer's, they lose a sense of presence, what's going on in the present. But they don't lose the past. That's that part of the brain, the circuitry keeps going. She remembered the past well. She had that down real well. And so she could remember things and tell stories, and they were just beautiful to hear. It was just awesome. And we sometimes, I think, that was to me a learning experience, because I'm very taken up with the present, aren't you? Oh, boy, what are we going to do today? What's going to happen tomorrow? And she was outside of that. And she knew what really counted. Love of her family, right? That's what counted, her love for Jesus. So when the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there. Musicians, stay here. I want to read a scripture. I'm going to do a committal prayer in a moment. Because the weather was messed up and all that, we weren't sure we were going to do the committal. So I'm going to do a committal prayer here. Before I do that, I want a scripture, read a scripture. And you know, as I was looking at scriptures this last week, thinking about this service, and I looked at the scripture and I went, Mrs. T knew this scripture. She knew it. She knows it better than I do. And now she's experiencing it. The church in Corinth didn't understand what happened when someone died in Christ, and so Paul was, we don't know who wrote him what question, but we know Paul wrote them the answer, and he wrote this. It's the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. Now, skip down through some of this, but he says, what I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when that trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But Paul writes, thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Alice has found, and that's what any of us can find. Simple faith in Christ. We just say in our hearts, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and that transaction takes place. And then we learn and grow as she did and find that wonderful relationship. If you bow with me, I'd like to pray committal prayer, and then we're going to sing a couple more songs together. Lord, it is by faith that Alice Tupper received you as her Savior. She couldn't see you. She couldn't touch you. And yet, interestingly enough, I think all of us in the room could say, she knew you. She really knew you. And now she's in your presence. So by faith, too, we commit her earthly remains to the earth, the elements from which she was taken, looking ahead to that resurrection morning. Her spirit's with you now, but there's a whole new day coming when she will get a new body, a new glorified body, not one that was troubled by disease, no more anxiety, inability to function and walk, and all the problems that were increasing for her. That's all over. That's all over. Her faith in you has triumphed, Lord Jesus, and that's available for all of us, even as we commit her and her spirit into your care. You are here for every one of us today, whether it's for comfort or healing. Your love and power, your grace is sufficient. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to sing two more pieces. And the first is, it may be a new one to some of you, and then we're going to close with one that I'll bet is not new to you, because we're going to sing in closing what you think of as a Christmas piece. Joy to the World. It was not written as a Christmas piece, but it had special meaning to Alice Tupper. Her little boy Tommy died at Christmas time, and he used to sing, Joy to the World, the Lord is coming, right? Did I get it right, Joni? The Lord is coming. Well, they have been reunited. But before we sing that, we're going to sing a song called All to Us. It's a fairly new piece. And what happened was we were practicing last night. We were practicing for today. Believe it or not, yes, we practice. And then we were practicing for Sunday, and this was on the list for Sunday. And when we got to the last verse, I think it hit all of us as much as possible simultaneously. Can you go to that last verse? It's when this passing world is over. When this passing world is over, we will see you face to face. She sees her Jesus face to face. She sees Tommy. She sees Jack. And Jack isn't cantankerous anymore. Or if he is, it's a glorified state or something. It's different. We will see you face to face. And forever we will worship, because this was her theme. Jesus, you are all to us. And we would sing this in church, and I'm not sure Alice was a fan of the newer music. My mom's her generation. Where's my mom sitting? Hi, Mom. There she is. She's not a real fan of some of the newer music, but when we learned this one, my mom went, I like this song. I like this song. So we're gonna teach it. That's the fact, wonders of his love. Lord, as we close this part of our celebration of Alice T's life, we're going to continue out in the other building. There'll be more there. There's so much more that should be said, needs to be said. We share and remember and laugh. We pray for your comfort and peace. I pray for the family, obviously most closely and immediately impacted, Joan, Jackie, Bob, what it means for them to have both parents gone now. It's a whole different chapter in their lives. Lord, give them your peace and your comfort right as they need it. Grief is weird stuff. It comes in waves. It comes in when we don't think it's coming. We're not ready for it. But give them your peace and comfort and love. For their spouses, for their kids, the grands and the great-grands, for each generation, it's something different. For all of us, for Alice's two sisters, one who's here and one who's not able to be here, it means something for them to say goodbye. Give them your comfort and peace. Pray at this time. For all of us, I've been so impacted by this woman in my life in so many ways. It's like I'm still trying to just sort that out. There's just so many thoughts, so many memories. So bless us as we share. Those are good things to share. As we laugh and cry together, let us find comfort from each other, the love of family and friends here at this time. We just thank you, Jesus, for this life. Live so openly before us in red, white, and blue. We praise you, Jesus. We love you. Okay, if you will wait to be dismissed, they will start upstairs, and then we have some more. We do hope you can stay. Who would not stay for ice cream? We're having ice cream in the fellowship hall. And there's some more things we want to share out there, too. We have some thank yous, and another friend's going to share a little bit. So please, I hope you can stay. So wait to be dismissed. Linda going to play? Okay, we're done.